Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Welcome, everybody. My wife wants me to say the Royal Blue S, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to put us on no pedestal or nothing. But the show is titled the Royal Blue S, but I just want to say the Blue S family. But welcome, everybody, to the Blue S show. This evening, I want to thank, first of all, God for the platform. I want to thank God for producing Elder Oliver with a platform. That he let people come on to express themselves, talk about God, talk about the issues of life. But I want God to, I want to bless him for Chaos Block Talk Radio, which is a great platform. And we thank you for the platform, Elder Oliver. Before we get started, I want to read the scripture, and then I want to give a subject that we'll be talking about. Discussing tonight. So just bear with me on the scripture. I need to read the whole scripture, just a few verses, to get the understanding of the subject. So out of St. Luke, the book of St. Luke, chapter 10, verse 25, starting at St. Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 25. It reads this thus. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him is Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Verse 30 of Luke 10. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, his clothes, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, a preacher. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, a deacon, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, just a regular person in the church, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, took out some money, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, here's Jesus. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the young man said, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. So Jesus was talking about a good deed. Jesus was talking about how we should be neighborly, how we should love one another. He was talking about taking care of one another. So our subject tonight that the family wanted to have tonight is good deeds. Good deeds. And what do you think is a good deed? All deeds are not good, but put some energy into it to make it happen. That it turns out good. But good deeds is our subject tonight. And I'm going to ask my wife to pray us in before we get started. If you would.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the Royal Blues real talk on tonight. Lord God, I thank you for each and every one of our kids being on, our grandkids being on, Lord God. Help us to be that light that you called us to be, Lord God, to this dying world, Lord God. We thank you tonight for our distractions, Lord God, because we know that every trial is making us and has made us stronger. Lord God, continue to help us to be good Samaritans. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you. Help us to help lift you up, not ourselves, so this dying world can see you through us, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you and keep and continue to help us to be those good Samaritans that you called us to be. In Jesus Christ's name I pray that everybody gets something out of this message and provoke them to do better, to be the good Samaritans that Christ has called us, each and every one of us, to be to this dying world. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sweetie. Amen. 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 I'll tell a story later on. I want to open up the floor to any of my family that wants to speak at this time.
I'll speak up. Good deeds. I believe good deeds is when you just do something out of the kindness of your heart without even thinking about it. Something positive. Good deeds can also be a lifestyle on how you live. It could just be so regular to where it could just be a lifestyle. Also feel like good deeds could be very specific too. So, you know, just a specific good deed. That's all I got on good deeds.
Okay. That's good. Do you find yourself now at the age that you are, the things you've been through, the life experiences that you've had up until now, do you find yourself wanting to help others more now than ever?
Yeah, it's more than it's like a lifestyle. It's like a lifestyle for myself. Like, I help a lot of people throughout the weeks. It's times where people told me that I've helped them and I don't even remember that I helped them.
All right. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's natural. I like that. Vanessa, you got anything, sweetie?
Yeah. Where my mind went to, I don't know if y'all know the Tyler Perry movie called Good Deeds, but my mind kind of went to that movie. I just watched it, like, probably, like, 3 weeks ago. But, like, how do I? Basically, like, I feel like a lot of times we don't notice that good deeds can end up, like, you doing good things for people out the kindness of your heart just because that's how you are. Sometimes it can flip around and change your life by you helping somebody else. It can end up blessing you. And, yeah, like, even in the movie, how, like, you know, Tyler Perry and his character in the movie, like, you know, he's rich. He owns businesses, a company, you know, a great million-dollar company or whatever, whatever. And, like, the janitor that was working. Anywho, long story short, how, like, by him giving her a hand and him helping her out and not doing her how other people were doing her in her life, he ended up seeing things in her that ended up changing his whole outlook on life, period. So I just want to, I guess, say that to say that being a good person and giving from your heart, a lot of times that blesses you also. You just, you never know how you can be blessed by you giving to somebody else. So, yeah, I got, that's what my mind went to with good deeds.
And that's a great example. You know, you can find yourself in this era of our lives in the world right now, the social media, the fast pace of life and things that's going on. We're being so busy and you got to get here, we got to get there. And all of our getting and our going about through our daily lives, I can guarantee you, we all, myself included, miss a lot of opportunities to help somebody. Even when, like you get off the freeway or you come to a red light, depending on where you're at, what neighborhood, what area. You know, people holding out signs, homeless, we work for food, blah, blah, blah. Society as a whole, from what I understand and what I've known, won't give a dime. You know, most people won't give anything because they think that person is going to take that money and get, you know, drugs or liquor or whatever, whatever. You know, so it's many times throughout our walk and our busy days that God would run us up on something like that, a situation like that, where he presenting us an opportunity to give, regardless of what that person do with it. Because you never know, they could just go run off and get something to eat or get a place to stay for the night, just the night. So, you know, give on your first thought. I have found that out to be true. Just do it. And don't worry about what they're going to do. But when we do good deeds, when we give, when we help somebody, it's not like we're looking at it instantly that God is going to return it. That's not how you should do it. But just do it out of the kindness of your heart. And you know when God is tugging on you to do something. We know that. And as you get older, you'll learn that. You know, you'll instantly keep running into situations like that. And I'm basing this on my experience. You'll keep running into situations like that till you feel motivated to do it right first time. So, absolutely, Vanessa. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Are any other grandkids on? Or Asha? No? Go ahead, tell your story, sweetie. Maybe they'll give them time to chime in.
Well, I don't know. I don't like telling my kids all my business. They might think of me. But growing up, I grew up in an atmosphere of love from my parents, first of all. But outside the house, it was me first with the area, where the area I lived in. What can I get? How can I get a lick that day or score a lick that day or get a hustle that day? I had no intentions of giving anything unless it was, you know, your close buddies in the racket with you. But outside of our little circle, no. But as I grew up, I started somehow just helping people out of nowhere. And it wasn't a lot. It was just gradually growing into that state of mind of just somebody in need to help them. And I felt good about it. And it was a feeling I had never felt before because I wasn't that type of person. Even at the age I am now, I can remember that clearly, how I felt then, how I carried myself then versus how I feel now and carry myself now. But my wife is a true giver. I'm a giver, but she's 200% more of a giver, you know, even more than me. So it has rubbed off on me to even do better now, to just help somebody. You know, you go on QT, you go on a gas station or whatever, and especially now with the gas prices, you have, you know, single mothers, you might have single fathers, and you behind them in line, and they give the cashier $4 for gas. And we know $4, you know, right now is not going to do anything for that vehicle. But they're living moment by moment and not worry about the next moment but the present moment. You know, we live in day by day. But I have been compelled to, when they walk out the store, they put this 20 on there too with that $4. I put this 30 on there with that $4 they put. And not think twice about it. You know, because everything that God gives us is not always for us. We take care of our own business. But what we have over, help somebody. I have learned that to this day. And not to think twice about it and keep it moving. You got anything, Ricky?
Well, I was taught at a young age to give. My mom was always giving. Somebody was always at our house. She was always, you know, offering food to relatives and just always giving. And I've always loved being around her, just going to funerals. I still love going to funerals because of her. Just being a help, not just giving, you know, tangible things, but giving, you know, helping. That's why I'm invited to something. I always leave it better than when I came. I just love being around her because just watching her have bereaved, when people, when somebody dies, we'll go over to their house, we're clean at the repack. We're the first ones there setting up. We're the last ones. And I try to teach my kids that. We've been taking the repasses, you know, try to show them, you know, it feels good for something that they don't have to do when you give your time. And when I say I just was raised that way. And I've shared on a Bible study one time, I didn't get confused about it, love or giving, until I came to the church. You know, my mom taught us, and she didn't even go to church, but she taught us to love everybody. You know, you're no better than the rest, you know, than your neighbors or somebody else that you think is less than. We've always gave. We never thought that we were better than anybody. And we always shared our time and our talents, you know. And I was raised that way. And I wasn't raised in the church. My mom taught us, all of us that. And we have nonprofits. My brother, my nephews, I mean, my nieces. It's just a way of life for our family. And I try to teach my kids the same thing, you know. Don't always look for something. Be a help wherever you go. And I think Vanessa said something to me about why we always got to be the first ones there to help. I always said, always get there early just in case somebody needs your help. You know, and I've always been that person, to get there early because somebody might need your help. And I'm always the last one to leave because don't nobody want to clean up. But, I mean, I've always been that person. I've always tried to rub it off. And I'm not going to take up all the time this time, so I'm going to let somebody else.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
sorry.
Please,
I was
going
to talk earlier. Hello?
Go ahead, sweetie.
Okay, so I want to go back over what you said that about, you know, like generous acts of kindness, like even if, like, it's the first instinct that you have. I tend to do this a lot. Like, I just can't help it. Like, the other day, there's always this one man walking outside of QT. My mom knows. Walking outside of QT over in Glenwood. And, you know, he's asking people to buy him cigarettes and cigarettes and cigarettes. And I noticed, like, he never eats. So one day I was in QT, and he just so happened to be behind me. And he was like, hey, can you buy me something to eat? And I was like, sure. And then, like, but I'm not the type to just give you the money. I'm going to buy it for you. So I bought him the pizza, and, yeah. Like, you can do it in different ways. Even if you do have another, like, a gut feeling, maybe, that they might be, you know, using it for something else, get them what they need. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's all.
That's good, Oz. That's good. It's, you know, when some, like, since we own this conversation about people, I think it'll be hard for you to minister to people when they have a need that hasn't been met yet. You know, like if they're hungry or even homeless or need something that you can immediately fulfill, then that can be a good time to minister to them, you know, give them a good word, you know, very, very briefly, pique their interest. So when a person is hungry or a person has a need that needs to be met, they, you know, more or less concentrate on that need and not even trying to listen to what you're trying to say. Because, see, a lot, you know, there's a lot of people you run into. A lot of people ask you, say, well, you know, pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. You just walk off, you know. Or let me pray for you, and you have a need. And people are concentrating on that need, you know. So I have ran into people that wanted food, and if I felt real strong that they weren't going to use the money for food, if I'm there in front of a food place or something, I'll buy them some food. I'll buy that food. But yeah, that's a very great example. But I want to go back to what my wife said earlier about going early to places and being almost the last one to leave. And to that day, and to this day, that gets on my nerve so bad. So bad. We go places and a function, and I can look right and look left, and she gone. I get up and find her. What you doing, baby? You know, I'm just doing this, that, and the other, helping them, you know, do this and all this and all that. I'm like, come on, sit down, because I want to enjoy you. No, so I have to let her do that. And a function or whatever, wherever we're at, and it's over, and she up washing dishes or she up putting up tables and chairs and all that. That pissed me off so much. But I stay, you know, and I'm fuming, I'm mad, and why she always got to do this? So I'm reminded of the story she just told about her mother and all of that. But it has been times I've drug her away, and she was mad for a week at me, but we got away from that place, though. But that's what she does, and it has blessed our family behind the things that she do. Called good deeds, good deeds. Anybody else want to add or go a different way?
Yeah. One of my, like my, well, I don't want to say my main way of doing good deeds, but like it's what I do is I'm good with like talking to people and people venting to me and opening up and me being there to either listen, because some people don't really want you to say anything. They just want to talk, and just to know, it's comforting to know that somebody's here for me that I could talk to. So like that's my main, I won't say main way, I give in a lot of ways, but that's kind of my thing, I guess, is to just be a listening ear, or to, you know, give wise advice to somebody. So that's another way you can do a good deed, is by being there for people emotionally and mentally. Everybody's going through life. Everybody's going through something. You know what I'm saying? Or not even, I don't want to say going through something. Everybody has things that, you know, happen on a daily basis. So, you know, being able to support their mental is a big way to give to somebody and to, you know, show a good deed. So, yeah.
Amen. 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 At this stage in my life, I just thank God that He has blessed me and my wife to do a lot of things for people. Not bragging. Again, I'm not bragging. I'm just letting you know the return on doing good. He has blessed us to bless others. And it makes me feel good to, and I don't ask, you don't have to ask me twice. You don't have to ask me, well, you think it's okay? You going to be all right? No. If you got a need, I want to meet it if I can. And, you know, and again, not bragging. I'm just letting you know the good how God is and how good God is and the mercy and the grace of God is to set you up to be a blessing and just send people money periodically without them even know it's coming. You know, and I say money because that's just how I do it. And I know people spend their time, like my daughter Vanessa said, spend their time with people, you know, giving them a shoulder and an ear to talk to. And I've done that before, too. But my God has blessed me to be monetarily a blessing. So, and the way my wife do it is, phew, good Lord. So I like to even surprise people. And I'm not looking for anything in return. And my wife, she'll come home some nights and just say, here's $800. I'm like, for what? You know, because I love you. So we, oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. She practices with me. And it might not be as far as physical practice and giving, is that she gives so much outside of the house, she come home and still give. See? And what you do in your home, you should do outside. What you do outside, you should do in your home. It shouldn't be just because you're in front of somebody for somebody to see you bless somebody. That's wrong. There's no return in that. Because you'll get what you're looking for, the praise of men and women, while you're doing it. That's going to be your return. But if you just do it openly, behind closed doors, fold it up in your hand and give them a handshake with that money in your hand that don't nobody know but you and the receiver. See, I have learned those things, and I can say those things confidently. I have learned those things. See. Anybody else?
I just want to say I love blessing people who cannot bless me back or just passing through or just, like Asha said, blessing somebody at the gas station. And I have displayed this so much with these kids, with my kids, my grandkids, you know, in the grocery store. Throughout this pandemic, we have given away so much. Not bragging, I'm just saying. We have given away so much to where, and I'm not, this is true. We've been blessed to give throughout this pandemic. Those are our tithes and our offerings. We've given to from DeKalb County to Gwinnett County to Walton County, different places, and just give and pay for people groceries. And that's how we've been paying our tithes and our offerings. Just giving and randomly. And when I tell you, God has been blessing us abundantly, he has trusted us. He know we're going to give much. And I do believe that you don't have to be in church. You don't have to know church. You don't have to, because we didn't go to church. Only time we went to church is with the Williams, and that was to eat, you know, the people that lived behind us. You know, we didn't learn anything. We just went because, you know, everybody went to the Williams church. But my mom taught us the benefit of giving, the joy of giving. And since this pandemic, God has really opened up for my kids, my grandkids. I mean, the overflow. Can God trust you with the overflow? He's going to meet your need. Yes, so many needs are going to be met for a whole lot of people, but you won't live in the abundance because he can't trust you with abundance. Can God trust you with abundance? Start giving more, not just, you know, out of compulsion, not because just because somebody asked you to give. No, just do it. Give to people who can't give it back to you. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely correct. 100% agree. Is Tuffy, you got anything, sir?
Yeah, I mean, some good deeds that I do is something similar, like with the homeless people, or not even homeless people, but just people that are just on the side of the road. They know that's, you know, you don't know what they're going through. I can't just label people or a person. So, yeah, I teach my daughter to always give as far as seeing people that need it on the side of the road. I might give them a pair of shoes that I have, some water. I don't really give out too much money anymore. I'll give out some shoes. I remember last time I had gave a homeless person some shoes. I gave him some real rare, like collectible, like tennis shoes, and he knew what they were. So he was real happy about that. Another thing is, you know, I work on cars, so I help people working on cars. Sometimes they might come to me because somebody is charging them X, Y, and Z, and they don't have it. So depending on the situation, it might be a time from time to time where I might be like, don't even worry about it. You know, whatever you give me is basically like a tip. So it's just like little things like that. Those are some of the ways that I do it. Other than working with special needs, I think working with special needs throughout the week, it's like an automatic good deed, you know, all of the time while you're doing that. So, yeah, I just feel like if you just fill your time up with doing good deeds, it don't have to be too deep, just a good deed. And, you know, even it might be a good deed to yourself, but like if you fill up most of your time doing that, focusing your energy on that, and I feel like that's how it becomes natural, as far as you'll naturally think of it being a good deed. If it's not a good deed, then it's not really a good thought. So that's what I got on good deeds.
Okay. That's good. Are y'all going to feed the homeless this weekend?
Yes.
But taking
it's
Jada
with you. It's the needy.
Okay. So I'm going to read this scripture right quick while we're talking about giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. So I don't want nobody to feel like they have to have an abundance to give. I'm just saying that God has blessed me and my wife to have enough to give, but I'm not saying everybody has to have that, because you can give what you have. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's see, at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully to also reap bountifully. Every man according as proposed in his heart. What's in your heart is what Apostle Paul is saying. Every man according as he proposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. So you don't have to have an abundance to give. Don't give because you have an abundance. Just give because there's a need. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things, having what you need at all times, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he have dispersed abroad, he have given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So that's even in the Word of God. So I don't want it to sound like you got to have an abundance to give. You can have $2 and give somebody one. That's just as if somebody had an abundance in giving also. So it works both ways. Just have an open heart. Not that somebody's pushing you to do it. Not somebody's trying to compel you to do it. But whatever God has proposed in your heart, what he has put in your heart to do, believe it, do that. If you hear God compelling you or feel God compelling you to do something to help somebody monetarily, materialistic, in any kind of way, if you feel strongly compelled to do it, just do it and watch God bless you. And I don't want you looking for the blessing. I just have to say it that way. And watch God bless you. Watch God order your steps. God has need all over this world, as in people. And he'll direct us at times to these people that he knows. Because, see, God will never let us down. Nobody. He'll never let nobody down if your mind is stayed on him. If you seek in the word of God, if you seek in his face, if you seek in Jesus Christ, he will not let you down. And anytime you run into a situation, God will lead somebody your way. That is guaranteed. He will lead somebody your way to help you meet that need. So people that are givers can be used by God or are used by God to meet the need of others, if that make any sense. And it's true. Would you agree with that, Tink?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I just want to, you know, this week, one of the mothers that used to go to our church was having surgery this week. She called me, and she has family here, and she called me and asked me, can I take her, like 7 in the morning, and could I pick her up around, I think, 2:30 or 3? Well, that's around my route, but she then told me about it. And I kind of, like, forgot, and she called me and asked me, are you going to take me? So I had to reroute everything, you know, for both, for texting her and picking her up. But when I tell you, and my kids will tell you, God always working stuff out for me. If your heart has to be right first. Your heart has to be right, and you have to have the right motives or why you're doing something, not just to get from somebody. So I went and took her to her appointment, made it on time, and on the way back, I was like, Lord Jesus, what am I going to do? I'm running late, and I'm trying to get there. And come to find out that she had woke up during surgery so that they give her some extra medication and put her to sleep. So they were running late to try to get her up in recovery. So I'm like, Lord. I'm like, Lord, you are so funny. So I'm thinking I'm running late. I end up waiting in the parking lot for maybe a good 5 minutes, waiting on them, you know, to wake her up to come to the car. It was a day surgery. So anyway, to make a long story short, I've been going over there every day, seeing about, you know, making sure she have, you know, what she needs, some food, taking her drinks, over there cooking with her, cooking for her with her daughters. Being there for her, you know, and this is a mother, this is elderly, she's elderly, she's almost 70. And when I tell you, it's just a blessing to be a blessing and to do things. You're not helping somebody if you're not going out of your way. If you're not going out of your way, if you're taking somebody to work, you're going that way, they work with you, you know, well, can I ride with you? I mean, yeah, that's okay. But what about if they live all the way across town? Would you still do that without asking? You know, that's helping somebody. When it's inconveniencing you, and I'm not saying that when it's not inconveniencing, you're not helping nobody. I'm just saying when you really, really go out of your way to try to help somebody and try to make somebody else's life run smooth, that's where I get the most blessings for me when I go out of my way to help somebody else. And I said that to say my brakes started squeaking on the transit van. I have a 15-passenger van. it starts squeaking. And my son said, Mom, you need to take this van, you know, to the shop right now. I said, go ahead, take it to the shop. And the rotors, I had fragments in the tire. So they said, I need a rotor. Called my son back. I said, tough, they're going to charge me over $1,000 to get it done. Okay, so something went down today where they didn't want to do it. So I just happened to call. This is all in one. This is all this week. I'm doing something for one of the sisters of the church, and I was, you know, trying to get some things done at the build, get some things done. Anyway, at work. I was at work trying to get some things done. So I called one of my friends to see if she can loan me a backdrop. So with me calling her, she said, well, I'm just now coming from the shop getting my car fixed. Girl, did you know that they only charged me $500 to do all this work? So something had to go down. Everything that happened to us for a reason. Don't get upset when things don't go your way. When you know, I could have got upset, and my granddaughter was in the car with me when it went down, and I was pleading with the guy, you know, whatever. But things happen for a reason. So when things don't go your way and you think, you know, things are, you know, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Don't panic. Keep it moving. Don't worry about it. So when I call my friend to ask about the backdrop, she sent me down the street. They're going to charge me $400-something for the rotors and the brakes on a transit van. That's more than half of what I was going to have to pay for if something didn't go down at this other shop that I always go to. And I go to this shop for everything. But I thank God that it went down. I wouldn't have learned about something else. So when we get put in, when we're in uncomfortable situations, thank God for being uncomfortable, because that's when God can show you new things. God can show you other avenues. God can show you other ways to do things. The way we've been doing it don't have to be the same way that, you know, that God want to bless us. Anyway, I can go on. Anyway, they're going to start texting me. Somebody else.
I almost sent the message to you, but I deleted it. Houser, y'all got anything?
I just want to tell my mommy that, yeah, like, the way you give is crazy. Like my daddy said, you know, we all give, we're all givers, we all do good deeds, but you are on a whole nother level of, like, what? It's like, and it's on a daily basis, literally, whenever you can, you just, in any, I don't know, and even, I'm not going to say stuff makes me mad, but, like, it's certain things where I'm like, Mommy, that was a money move. Why you didn't, you know what I'm saying? You're like, no, that's not what God laid on my heart, or no. You know what I'm saying? You just, I don't know, it's just not that it makes me upset. I just, you know, it's just some stuff is like, Mom, you could have got this for that, or, you know, but you're such a giver, and it's very inspiring, and you can tell that you're a giver because of the blessings that also come into your life. And like you said, God can trust you with the things that he blesses you with. He can trust you to continue to give. The more you get, the more you give, literally. So, yeah, it's just evident because of the blessings that God get, like, the stuff that happens, the blessings that you get are crazy, and the way that you give is crazy. So it's definitely an inspiration on, how to give, even in times that, like you said, it's not convenient for you, or it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like how you use the example of y'all both, somebody, you and somebody else work, y'all work at the same place, and you say, yeah, you can ride with me. You know what I'm saying? They had to get a ride to your house, and then y'all rode together. You know what I'm saying? No, like you, I don't know. It's very inspiring, inspirational how you give. And, it's a great example. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I could piggyback on that. She gives so much that she be at Goodwill and be at a store buying something she don't need, but she knows she's going to give it away to somebody she don't even know. I was going to add that in there.
Somebody wants. She good. Somebody got to go on mute.
That's Elder Oliver's phone. That's Elder
Oliver.
Phone.
You got anything?
Thank God for my mom. She just, huh?
I was just saying.
Say it again.
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Nani.
I wasn't saying anything. I was just saying, yeah, mommy, yeah. Like, what? Yeah.
It's just, if I'm not, I don't do it. I'm just me. For to just do right by people. I mean, people out here, they need, especially now. And we've been doing this. I mean, I've been doing this all my life. I mean, I didn't just start giving. I've been a giver. My mom showed me as a child how to give. She's just a giver. My mom is a giver. She loves people. And we haven't displayed Christ until we show love. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And once they see how much you care, like my husband said, you could get their attention once you have fed somebody, once you have done something for somebody. And it's like, I'm talking about with people you know now, or people you encounter, and you know you're going to see this person, like at Kroger's. One time I gave, I think, one of the cashiers or something, I forget. But you never know what people are going through. You never know, you know, you just never know. You just never know. Just try it. Just try giving. Just try, you know, doing something out of the norm. If it's not money, just your time. And I know that mother who I blessed was just being in her home. You know, she has two kids. You know, she don't really have adults, you know, that she's around. Just to be there for a couple of hours in the afternoon when I get off work, you know, yeah, everybody tired. I get up at 5 like a whole lot of people. I don't get home to 6:30, 7 o'clock sometimes, you know. But you still have to make that time, you know, to see about somebody else other than yourself. Because you're just going to go home and go through your phone or, you know, or whatever. Instagram and TikTok and all of that stuff. You're just going to go home and scroll on that. So, why not spend some time with somebody that matters? You can't help them people on TikTok or Facebook or whatever. You can't help them people. So help somebody that you know that needs your help. And I just get joy with bringing a smile to somebody's face, just being there, making their day go a little smoother. Put a smile on somebody else's face instead of always looking for a smile. Give something. Give what you want back. If you want a smile, give a smile. If you want help, give some help. You know, it'll make your day go better. It makes mine go better.
Amen.
I wanted to chime in real quick. How mommy? He made the comment of you can't help people on Instagram, but you can post motivational things, encouragement. That's another active way to do a good deed. There's so much negativity on these phones and on social media. So, you know, that's a good deed that you can do is just put a good word out there. Or, that's another good deed.
Yeah, you can. But a lot of people around this time, they're on there, they're scrolling through. They're not trying
to
encourage nobody.
This is a whole new comment. I'm not saying it and connecting you with anything. I'm just using another example. It provoked my mind to think of another good deed of posting positivity, so somebody scrolling, you know, can just be fed by a little word.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Good comments. Good stories. Good examples. I want to read some more scripture. I'm just getting all the scripture. Didn't have it at first. So I want to read this scripture out of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Let me read through it right quick. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, starting at verse 1. And this is for the This is for the religious people. This is for the church folk. This is for the folk thinking they're doing it right in all the areas but failing in one area, which make all areas wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. So as I'm reading this, every time you hear the word charity, it means love. Charity means love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling, tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, remember charity means love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. This word charity is mentioned several times, which means love again. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up, unseemingly seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, again, verse 8, charity never faileth, meaning love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, or, you know, people speaking in tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, which is Jesus, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We know in part. We think in part. We act in part. We do all this stuff in partialities and segments. And it's partial. It's not full. It's not whole. But when Jesus comes back, all that's going to vanish. And we'll see the truth for itself, that it'll be the 100% truth of Jesus Christ. The reality of what we have faith in, the reality of what we have love in. So all of these things we do in front of people, or all these things we do even behind closed doors, and we do it to be recognized, or we do it to be seen, or we do it, you'll have your reward of the people you're showing it to. They'll clap for you. They'll applaud for you. They'll do things for you. That's your reward. That's the reward you receive. I would rather have the reward of God. I would rather have the name of Jesus Christ on my life. Things I do in secret, not expecting an applause from anybody that see me do it or go in the streets to be seen to do things. So on deeds is our subject tonight. Do what's in your heart that's good, and that'll work. But whatever you do that's in your heart that is bad, that is not of God. Anything you do good is for God. Just keep that in mind. Don't even think about it. If you got a great need and you see somebody in need, help them. You don't know how much of a benefit that is to your life and meeting all your needs, even though you can't see yourself meeting them yourself. Just have faith in God. Have the love of God in your heart to help somebody in need, even though you in need. And the short story we get ready to end is when I was in the Army. And for some reason, for about a couple of years, the government kept messing up my money. We got paid once a month in the Army. They would give me my money and hit my bank. And then about, I think, Ricky, what, about 2 or 3 days, it disappeared, be gone, zero of what I got paid. So within those 1 or 2 days, we had to hurriedly, speedily go get groceries before that money is gone. And one day while I'm at work in the Army, my wife called me. She said, you know, and it was a crackling in her voice. It was not knowing what's going to happen the next day in her voice. She called me. She said, well, you know, this neighbor, that neighbor, so-and-so, you know, coming over to borrow stuff and just, you know, and we know we don't have it, but we have it. We have just enough. I said, you know what, baby? And I didn't even know God that well. I said, you know what? Give it to him. My exact words, give it to him. When you open the cabinet or you open the refrigerator, we'll have it.
I didn't even know what faith was at that time. I didn't even know who. I met Jesus when I gave my life, but that I was still learning. I was a babe in Christ, still learning of his word and of him and his actions and his most personalized self. I was just learning. But it just automatic. I didn't think. I didn't meditate. I didn't read none. When she told me that, I said, just give it to him. And when you open the cabinet or you open the refrigerator, we'll have it. And God never failed us. So what I was saying before I said that was that even though you have a need and you run into somebody with a need, help them. And as you're helping them, you're helping yourself in the eyes of Jesus. He helped us all when he died on the cross. He helped us all when he died on the cross, even before we would do the sins we're going to do, even to this day. He died that we can have something to go back to be whole, made whole again. So, anybody got any last words before we get ready to wrap it up?
Tuffy, did you want to talk about what we're gonna, what you brought to my attention on yesterday, or did you want me to talk about it?
You go ahead and talk about it. Yeah, I didn't think it was enough time to talk about it.
Yeah, it's enough time. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Yeah.
It's gonna be talked about. It was your thought, so just. Say what was laid on your heart yesterday.
No, I was just speaking yesterday that I was saying you don't always have to be in the church in order to give a good deed or in order to do something good in your heart. Like if it feels good in your heart, we could do it at any point, time of the day, anywhere, anything. So long story short, if church is a thing that is in your life, don't always wait until you get there in order to think positive or do good things or do good deeds. You know, just fulfill what's good to you. That's a good deed. So that was something that me and my mom was talking about yesterday. You could do different good deeds, like going to go feed people, going to go clothe people outside in the community, and you don't always have to, another subject, we don't always have to be in a under a church home or in a church in order to be somebody that is out here as if he's like an apostle or as if he's like just leading somebody into a positive place or a positive start or a just uplifting them. They don't always have to be church related. It could just be something that you just want to do just off of your heart. So that's what we were talking about.
Well, you also was talking about what we used to do a few years ago. You wanted to go back to feeding the homeless.
As a family,
what we used to do, we used to go downtown, T-shirts, and we used to go to the nursing homes, and they used to hate the nursing homes. But I used to take her to the nursing home.
I still smell that smell to this day.
I used to take her to the nursing homes, and we would go visit, decorate. Like for Christmas, we'll go up there and decorate or take them presents and things like that and go to the hospitals. And we would always do things. And he asked me, can we get back to doing that? On yesterday, he asked that. So more than likely, some of these Sundays that we're out, we do go feed the homeless, not homeless, the needy. We've been doing this since the pandemic started. On Oakland and Lawrenceville, it's called Grace Point. We've been doing that since the virus started. And he wanted to do more. He felt like he was compelled to do more than just that one day. So he asked me yesterday, can we start that back up? So more than likely, we'll be going on some of these Sundays to feed and give clothes and T-shirts and socks to the homeless. So, yeah, and that's how we came about the good deeds on today. We were supposed to spoke on it last week, but God brought it back to our remembrance to go ahead and talk about it today. So look out for the Royal Blues It's God gave me a word for it too. It's gonna be called Taking It to the Streets. So we'll be taking it to the streets and ministering, doing God's will outside the four walls.
Writing that book tonight. All right.
Daddy.
Quick. Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Vanessa. Go ahead.
I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Mom, I don't have anything to say.
But you know, y'all was raised in the church now. Every time the church door was open, if I wasn't there, your mama was there. But she slept on the roof just in case and looked down and see if the door open.
Yeah, I was there every day of the week. Every day of the week it was an event or something going on, a practice, an event, or, I just told my friends I couldn't go outside until 7:45, and at 7:45 I only got 30 minutes to play because it get dark at 8:30. So.
Yep, but you got some church in though,
bro.
So, you know, I don't want it to. On what you said about church, I don't want, and I know what you're saying exactly, but I don't want people to think you don't have to go to church. For the word of God say, forsake not the assembly of ourselves, which means get together at some point just to encourage one another. Keep yourself moving. Hear testimonies that keep you encouraged. Hear the word of God being preached. It could be something for you. You know, I ain't saying you got to go every time the door's open. But don't make it a point that you don't need church or the saints to be around, good people to be around, to be encouraged or to stay encouraged. Because we're not always happy. We're not always just walking around with our head up. You know, things happen in our lives that somebody else, through God, can inspire you just to keep you going one more step. So I don't want nobody to be discouraged going to church. But if you have a good church home, and it's still about the Bible and the Word of God, you know, I actually still continue to go. Still continue to go.
So, hey, I think he was saying you don't have to do good deeds in the church. You don't just have to do it in the church, the good deeds.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just don't want nobody to take a part of what
he's
saying.
He was just making it clear that's what the message was, and just separating two.
Exactly. All right, well, we are at the end of our hour. I appreciate all the listeners. I appreciate my family. I appreciate you, Elder Oliver, for giving us this platform. It's a blessing. I really, really do appreciate you and your wife, Lady K. Again, this is Blog Talk Radio, where the owner is Elder Oliver, doing a great job. He's doing a great job. Ever since he joined our church, he's been a blessing to our church and many people in the church. So hats off to you, sir, and what you're doing. A mighty work for God. And I appreciate our conversations. I appreciate your sincerity. And I appreciate the man that you are. So thank you again for listening tonight. I hope you're blessed. Me and my family just try to be open about it. You know, there have been times where we've, you know, been just to ourselves. And I'm at an age now, my wife's at an age now where you're not helping nobody if you're quiet. So, I mean, even from our conversations, some may even look down on us now. But that's people. And there may be some looking up to us right now. Those are people. But all people are God's people. Keep it in mind in our daily walks. Every person you see, saved or unsaved, still belongs to God. So with that being said, Father God, I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for providing
abundantly. I want to thank you for meeting all needs with my children. I want to thank you to the listeners that you would meet every need, that everything is met, and that people are encouraged to still live for you. Keep stepping on your ordered steps from God. No matter the situation, keep stepping. We're going to have trials and tribulations. God knows about it. We see them coming before we do. Whatever situation, he gives us a way out. And that way out is already planned before you even get to the situation. So like my wife was saying, don't worry about it. Don't let nothing trouble you. Walk through it. Keep doing what you're doing. And have charity in your heart, which means love. Help the next person as best you can. It's not measured how you help. Do help in the name of Jesus. So be good to one another. Love one another. Keep that on your mind going forward about love. And in the name of Jesus, I want to say thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good night.